For our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll read beginning with verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own soul, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Acts 17 tells us that the Apostle Paul had come to Thessalonica, and three Sabbath days he had reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Notice he did not reason with them about the Scriptures. There was never any question in his mind as to the authority and the inspiration of the Word of God. He says elsewhere in the Acts, believing all things that are written in the Law and the Prophets. He did not reason with them out of the Scriptures, or he didn't reason with them about the Scriptures. He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. He took the Word of God as the basis for everything that he had to say. How grateful we all should be for this Word of God. The fact that God has spoken at all is the reason for our very existence. For he spoke the world into existence. He spake, and it was so. He commanded, and it stood fast. And not only so, but the Scripture says that it holds all things by the word of his power. Everything in space is held there by the mighty fiat, the word of God. How precious this word of God should be to us. In the book of Job, we read him saying, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. And again, the psalmist says that the word of God is more valuable than gold, more precious than fine gold, and it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Paul had come here to these believers at Thessalonica and had only spent a very, very short time with them, just three Sabbath days. And God had done a tremendous work in the hearts and lives of these people. Their lives had been unalterably changed, the direction of their life. They had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, the first chapter tells us, and to wait for his Son from heaven. And yet they were essentially babes in Christ. And every church needs exactly what this portion of the Word of God tells us they did have. And every home needs exactly what this portion of the Word of God tells us they did have. Notice, we read in verse 7 of our chapter that these believers at Thessalonica were blessed by the fact that they had three mothers. He says, we, that is, Paul, and Silvanus and Timotheus, because that's how the book starts, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. And he said, we, that is those three, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. He says, we were just like mothers to you folks at Thessalonica. But not only did he say that, he says in the 11th verse, we were your fathers. He says, ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, even as a father doth his children. Three mothers, three fathers at Thessalonica. And the crying need today in our world is for fathers and mothers in the home, and for fathers and mothers in the assemblies of God's people. God has ordained that society is based on the simple premise that the home begins with a husband and wife, or father and mother, if you like, because God said to our first parents, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And so the very first statement that God made to man after he created him mentions the father and the mother. Leave father and mother. It's very obvious that it was not spoken for the benefit, particularly of Adam and Eve, because they had no father and mother to leave. But it was spoken to them in view of all of the generations that were to follow. And the key to blessing in the home and in the assembly is the father and the mother. And the same thing is needed. The same thing that brought this world into creation is the same thing that is needed in the operation of the home. It was the Word of God that brought this world into existence. And it's only the Word of God that can make any home or any assembly what it should be. It's all based on the Word of God. The Bible tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. It tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes they tell us that the age in which we live is the communication age. The communication age. And God has given us two things. Two simple things that revolve around communication. And we have come together this evening and we have brought those two things together. Prayer. By means of prayer, we speak to God. That's the way we communicate with Him. And by His Word, He communicates with us. And if God has spoken, and He has spoken, then the most important thing in the world is to listen to what He has to say. There is nothing under heaven that's as important as listening to what God has to say. For apart from it, apart from listening to what God has to say, there is no way that we can ever please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Remember, Paul in one of his epistles says, ye have not many fathers. And we might also add, you have not many mothers. It's difficult to be a mother in the home. Those of you who are mothers know that. It's difficult to be a father in the home. God hasn't promised us an easy life. It's not a Sunday school picnic that He has called us to. You heard the story about the lady who was getting on the bus, and she had about 12 kids behind her, and someone said to her, are those your children? Or is this a Sunday school picnic? And she said, they're all my children. Let me tell you something. There's no Sunday school picnic. When you're taking care of children, if even you got one, keep your hands full. One lady said that when she had one child, it kept her, it took all her time. And when she had 10, it took all of her time, so it didn't make a whole lot of difference whether you had 1 or 10. They all take all your time. Very encompassing thing, taking care of children. You know, way back in the beginning, God said something like this. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And it says, so God created man in His image. Male and female created He them. He created man in his image, male and female created he them. Because you see, it takes two. The husband, the father in the home, the wife, the mother in the home, it takes these two to convey the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ to our children. It takes those same two in the assembly to convey that same truth to our spiritual children. In John chapter 1 we read, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There was a perfect balance in his life. It was not just simply truth. It was not simply grace, but grace and truth. In him, they were held in perfect balance. You know what's needed in the assemblies of God's people today? The same thing that is needed in the home. There is needed the tender love of a mother. And there is needed the tough love of a father. Both tenderness and toughness. Both kindness and righteousness. Both of these things are to be seen in balance in the home. So the apostle says here, we were just like mothers. We were tender among you. We were gentle among you. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. I asked one fellow one time, to what did he attribute his later godliness in life? He said, well, he was brought up at mother's knee and over father's knee. You know, there has to be a kind of a balance. There has to be a tenderness. And there has to be a toughness. And I believe that our assemblies and our homes suffer today because of these two things. A lack of tender, loving care and a lack of tough, loving care. God puts the father and the mother together in what God has joined together. The scripture says, let no one put asunder. Sometimes force of circumstances makes it necessary, and I've known mothers and fathers in this situation where you have to be both mother and father. Perhaps your husband just leaves the home. We had a lady in our assembly that happened, and she raised three children for the Lord. She had to be both father and mother. And sometimes it's the other way around, and God gives special grace in that circumstance. But ordinarily, God intends both to be functioning in the home. And one of the problems today is that many times people can be there present in physically, but absent spiritually as far as carrying out the purpose that God has for them in the home. For love's sake and for righteousness' sake. God has ordained that the home is really the training ground. It's the ideal training ground for both father and mother, because if you're going to be a father to those in the assembly of God's people, it says that the elder must be one that rules his own house well, having his faithful children, not unruly. And it says also, it suggests also that the mother, if she is characterized by that tender, loving care at home, why, she can be that kind of mother above that. And we should all covet to be really fathers and mothers among God's people. Even you who are very young, you should say, aim in that direction. With God's help, I want to be that. Maybe I'm not that now, but I want to be that down the road. Being able to care for God's people in that way. I've known a few spiritual fathers. I've known men that, you could confide in. Spiritual men, just like your own father. And I've known ladies, several of them in my life, that were just like mothers to me. Maybe you've had that experience. You can think back over your Christian experience. You can remember those who were not your own mother, but were just like mother to you. They had a love and a care and a concern, and it was very evident in their lives. We need to covet this type of ministry. He says, we were gentle, it says, among you. Notice that it doesn't say we were over you, not lords over God's heritage, the scripture says, but being in samples to the flock. And by the way, It's a good thing to remember that when God brings our physical children into the home, they don't belong to us. They say, how many children do you have? I said, well, I have 5 sons and 1 daughter. And I talk as though they belong to me, but I know they don't belong to me. And you know why I know they don't belong to? Because God's word says they don't belong to me. It says children are an heritage of the Lord. They belong to Him. And the children in the assembly belong to God. They're not my sheep, they're His sheep. And my children, my physical children, are just a trust from God. I have them for a while. They're not mine, they're His. And my ambition should be to see to it that those that have been given to me in trust, I in turn give them back to Him, like Hannah did with Samuel, whom God gave to her, but she accepted as she realized that he was just alone. And she returned to the Lord that which was given to her. If we're going to serve the Lord as mothers, then we must be gentle. In fact, that's what the scripture says, the servant of the Lord must be gentle. You know, years ago they used to speak, and you don't hear that much anymore, at least I don't hear it anymore, they speak of gentlemen. You even see it on bathroom doors, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Years ago, they used to speak of gentle women. I'm not saying women are not gentle now, but they used to use that expression. Gentle women and gentle men is a common expression, but you don't hear that much anymore. It certainly suggests to us what should be characteristic of us. We should be gentle. You know, we live in a world where they say you have to be tough. But God is looking for people who are gentle. It says, and by the way, it doesn't here say it's a mother, although it's very obvious it's a mother. It says, as a nurse, it doesn't say a mother, but as a nurse cherishes her children. So it's obvious that she's a mother. It's her own children it's speaking about. It says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. And you know that word that is used here, nurse, literally means to feed. To feed. You know, because that's one of the duties of a mother. We have a little grandchild now. You have to mention these things, you know. If you have grandchildren, then that's one of the rights you have to have. But he's 9 months old now, and our daughter is breastfeeding him. And that's one of the things that she does. God has given her all the necessary equipment to feed that little fella, and she's feeding him. And you know, don't have to wait to warm the bottle, by the way. It's already warm. She just puts it on her breast, and away he goes. But that's one of the privileges. And I think it was F.W. Grant that said in his numerical Bible, God made no mistake when he put the child on its mother's breast and not its father's. Because the first thing that God wants people to know is grace and then truth. He wants us to know that there's someone that loves him. And I think that little baby gets that idea. You know, they get pretty attached to mother, you know. You notice that, you know, say, come here, you know, and, you know, he lunges towards mother instead of toward you, and you kind of get the message that maybe he likes mother a little better than you. He knows where his food is coming from. And he's attracted to mother, and mother's attracted to him. She feeds that child physically. But it's just as important that she feed him spiritually, too. And I know Jenny has been doing this. She sings a little song to him. Every time she sees him, when he wakes up, she sings the same little song. And he's gotten kind of used to it now. And his face kind of brightens up, you see. And just amazing what little children can take in. It says concerning Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, that as a nursing baby, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, you can't start too early with children. And you can't start too early with babes in Christ. And many a babe in Christ has suffered because, you know, they're saved and we sort of forget about them. And we do like Mephibosheth's nurse does. We just drop them. And then they're lame on both their feet then because when they were babes in Christ, we didn't feed them and hold them. And that's important too. It says, even as a nurse cherishes her children. And that word cherishes means warms. You know, there's something about it. When you hold a child to your breast, you're not only feeding him, you're warming him. And we need to be held. And we need to know that someone is caring for us. Nurse it for me. That's what Moses' mother was saying, was told, and that's what God says to us. Nurse it for me, says, and I'll pay you your wages. The faith which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, thy grandmother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Many years ago, it's old stuff now, but it was discovered in a German foundling home. They had all these orphans in the home, and they noticed that the infant mortality rate was quite high, but then they started a little practice that has been since adopted all over the world. The nurses in that foundling home started holding the babies regularly, systematically. And those children prospered. They grew. They didn't have any father or mother, actually, but just that someone was holding them meant something to them. Now at every hospital you go in, they give them what they call TLC, tender loving care. They hold the baby. And I think sometimes we need to put our arms around one another. Have you hugged your child lately? How about that spiritual child? How about that young person that has just come to Christ? Perhaps you were the means in God's hands, a father or mother that led them to Christ. Have you put your arm around them? I mean physically. I'm not talking about spiritual. Put your arm around them and let you know that you care. We live in the Western world, and sometimes we're so undemonstrative. And I think we fail and falter in that regard. We need to show in a very real way that we care. Many years ago, Benjamin Disraeli, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain at the time, was standing with Queen Victoria in this big hall, and they had all kinds of, people of importance, notorieties, I guess that's the word, present. And she said to Benjamin Disraeli, "Where did all these great men come from?" And he said, "From babies, Your Majesty." And we look at those that are young, and we say, "Boys will be boys." And as Alfred Gibbs used to say, "Wrong. Boys will be men." And how important it is, in those early years, in the hall, and the assembly hall, to see that they're fed from the Word of God. And then he says, "Ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, even as a father doth his children." We need the tenderness of the father. We need the toughness. Tenderness of the mother. We need the toughness of the father. Both are needed. Some of you perhaps have read the book written by Dr. James Dobson entitled, "Dare to Discipline." You know, we hear today a good deal of what they call child abuse. And they suggest that even if you spank a child a little bit, you've been over-abusive. But I think one of the most abusive things that you can do to any child is to fail to discipline. I'm not speaking about whipping, necessarily, although that may be necessary. But when I allow my child to grow up undisciplined, and nobody in his right mind would want that child around the place, then I failed that child. Some years ago, we had a couple of kids come over to our home. The place was a wreck after they left, and I told them myself, never again. Not those two. And I don't blame the children. I blame the parents for permitting them to grow up so undisciplined that no one even wants them around. How important it is. A mother's heart and a father's hand are both needed, because there isn't a child that's ever been born that doesn't need correction. And there isn't a spiritual child that's ever been born that doesn't need correction. And one of the reasons that the Word of God has been given us, it says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We need to be corrected for instruction in righteousness. What a precious Word of God that we have that to correct us. You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. You know, it's interesting that the word exhorted, we know what that is, to encourage a person to do what is the right thing. And then it says to comfort and charged. It's interesting that that word charged in Strong's Concordance, he gives the word there, is the same Greek word that is used when it says Pilate scourged Jesus. And what that's saying is that sometimes our physical children and our spiritual children need to be spanked. And Paul says we are comforted and charged and scourged every one of you as a father doth his children. We cannot be any better in our dealings with children than God is with his. And my Bible tells me this, that whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourgeth. That's a fancy word, but that means spanks, whips, scourgeth every son whom he receives. We all need it. And God loves us enough to see to it that we get it when we need it. But I want you to notice this, that the power of the influence of these men on this young church at Thessalonica was not so much this business of disciplining them. The power that they had was the power of their godly example. He said, ye know how, holily. He said, our life was lived holily. You know what that means? That's a fancy word. But it means they were separated unto God, set apart for him. As to God, they lived a holy life, devoted to him. As to men, it says justly. No one could point a finger at them and said, these fellows are crooks. These fellows are dishonest in their dealings. Justly. They had a reputation of being righteous in their dealings with their fellow men. And as to their own personal character, unblameable. No one at Thessalonica could point a finger at any one of these three men and said, you know, I've seen this and that and the other in Paul's life or Timothy's life or Silvanus' life. And the reason they had such a tremendous influence was because of the character of their life. And I believe this, that if I'm going to be an influence for God with my children and with my spiritual children, then I must set a godly example. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say as Paul did say, follow me. He said, even as I follow Christ. Yes, we have a crying need today in our homes, in our assemblies, for fathers and mothers. God is looking for that. And I wonder tonight if each of us is saying in our hearts what Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, use me. That's what I want to be. I want to be a father. My own children. I want to be a father among God's people. I want to be a mother. You know, there's something about that tender, loving care that's needed in the assemblies of God's people today. There's something about that tough, loving care that's needed. Sometimes we do not dare to discipline because we're afraid in the assemblies of God's people that if we discipline anybody, well, brother so-and-so will leave and sister so-and-so will leave and so-and-so will leave and so forth. And we're very hesitant about meeting out discipline. Just prepare of the consequences rather than stepping out in faith. What does God tell me to do in this situation? And just do it. And trust God for the consequences. We are not responsible for the consequences of our behavior. We're only responsible for the behavior. And if we act in what God says, then we can trust him for the consequences. We have that notable example in Acts chapter 5. I don't know how they must have felt. We said, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, if we deal with them, they might have thought this way. I don't say they did. I'm just using my unsanctified imagination. If we deal with them, this person will leave and that person will leave and the other person will leave. But you know what happened? When discipline was meted out in accordance with God's design for that particular occasion, it says, great fear came upon all the church, and multitudes were added. They discovered that by subtracting, they added. I read some time ago a statement by an American comedian I thought was kind of cute. He said, I don't want to belong to any organization, he said, that would have me. Think about that a minute. But you know, there are a lot of people that don't want to be associated with Christians just because they are failing the discipline in accordance with the Word of God. They say, I don't want to be with that crowd and have my name linked with that. But you know, when we take a stand for the Lord and for faithfulness to the Lord, the world soon hears about it, and fellow Christians hear about it. And they want to be with people that are faithful to the Lord in dealing with the discipline problems as they come up. Yes, we need fathers and mothers today. May God help us to fill the place in our homes and in the assembly that He would have us to do. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for Thy holy word. It is, as always, to us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We're thankful for each believer here this evening and for each home represented. We know there are problems today and oftentimes in our homes seemingly insurmountable problems, but we know that Thou art able to do in and for and through us the exceeding abundance of all we can ask or think. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to Thee. Faithful no matter what. Faithful in spite of the consequences. Keep us, Lord, who keep us cleaving to Thyself. Still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Fathers and mothers in the homes of our assembly, Christians today, help them to fill the place that Thou hast given them. Help them to fill the place in the assembly of Thy people as well, we pray. We seek Thy blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.